This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And on the line with us, we have our favorite geek, Wes. Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV. There, Wes?
I am. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, good morning, sir. Welcome back to the show. It's nice and warm where
Absolutely.
You are. It's freezing
Always
where we are.
Always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, good, good, good. So we wanted to bring Wes back because obviously Wes is part of IT Pro TV, and you help to train future geeks of the planet or improve current geeks.
That's right.
Get them certified. And we thought maybe this time we'd chat a little bit about maybe some of your suggestions for the average user's security. What should they be thinking about when it comes to their personal computer security?
Well, you know, there's so many things that we could talk about, mm-hmm. right? But there are some basics that seem to kind of be the same regardless of what operating system you're logging into. And one of the things that really starts, you know, I think top of the stack of anything when it comes to best practices is going to be an awareness that, yes, this can happen to you. You can be hacked. You can fall prey to or victim, if you will, to threat actors there. So that's definitely one of the first things I would say. It's just a training and awareness around it's a good first line of defense.
Yeah, and that's even for business. We talked about this here in Connecticut. One of our towns got ransomed, of course, and their first selectman is talking about security awareness training. But you're right. You should just assume you can be a victim. And
most definitely. And then as it gets a little bit closer to the user's account, because at the end of the day, that's what threat actors are looking for. They're trying to find a way into, you know, into your organization. And it might not just be the average end user that they really care about, but they can always use that to pivot. So the next biggest thing is going to be proper password construction and password management. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the next line of defense when it comes to any system, because if you look at all of the tactics that are out there preying on the end user, a lot of times that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get those credentials so that they can mount an attack, you know, elsewhere.
Now, of course, you said password structure, password, and we talk about passphrases these days as a potential structure. What about saving your passwords while you have it in your browser? What do you think of that, Wes?
You know, I'm sure that the browsers have a really good way of encrypting them. I haven't really looked into as far as, you know, how they actually store those credentials. I do it myself, so I'm not opposed to it. But I will tell you that one of the things I would say it would be better is a third-party password management system. You know, something like LastPass, you know, where you can have a password manager and it can store your passwords. Because one of the things that we're challenged with is making those strong passwords, you know, making sure that they have the complexity requirements, the length, if you will, no password reusal, you know, resetting your password after so many days. That can be kind of complex for a lot of people. So if you have a password management system, you know, it makes it a lot easier. But I would say the password is definitely the next line of defense when it comes to basic end user security.
Then, of course, we talk about service packs updates. You know, Microsoft constantly bringing down the updates. You know, should people do them right away? Should they not do them right away? It's always a double-edged sword, right? When it comes to, I mean, obviously in business we kind of have no choice, but for the home user, what do you suggest?
Well, you know, Microsoft has got so janky with the Windows updates. You know, they're just continuous rolling updates. It's more of what they call Windows as a service today, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that traditionally Patch Tuesday a lot of times means Rollback Wednesday. You know,
heck yeah,
it does.
Yeah, you know, so here's what I would say, because I am a firm believer that that's another line of defense. A basic thing that the end user can do is just paying attention to things that say cumulative or things that say critical, because a lot of times those are the ones that are security updates. And even in Mac OS, because, you know, even though Windows is still the dominant enterprise, you know, operating system, Macs have become more and more prevalent within our, you know, corporate environment too. And the same thing would go with, you know, with Mac. I'm sitting on a Monterey update right now, and I'm not sure that I want to go to Monterey yet because I might have to roll it back. But if they come through and they say, hey, currently, you know, we're going to roll out a security patch for Big Sur, I'm going to jump on it. If feature updates, I would say use those discretionally, you know, but when it comes to the security updates, and this goes with your software on your machines too. I'm kind of being generic here and just saying the operating system, but really any piece of software, because the vendors, they identify critical fixes, and a lot of times it's not just functionality flaws that they're fixing, it's security vulnerabilities. So that would be the next thing that I would definitely say. You have to also, you can't look past the importance of backups. And this can be something that's kind of intimidating for the average end user, but they've made it really easy to use Time Machine in Mac OS, to use file history inside of the Windows operating system. Mm-hmm. Heck, you can even use the older Windows 7 full drive imaging that's still in there, and you can take a full image of your drive, and all you need to do is put in that repair disk, which a lot of times CDs are becoming obsolete, but it'll be a USB thumb drive, and you can restore your operating system to a point in time completely with all your applications and all your settings. So that's another thing that I cannot stress enough is backups. Make backups of your crucial data and follow the traditional 3-2-1 rule. Three different backups, two different kind of medias, one that is not on your computer. You know, in corporate, we say off-site, but I don't expect somebody to take a thumb drive and, you know, put it in the neighbor's mailbox or anything. Right. Just make sure that it's external.
Yeah, all very good advice. What about DNS filtrations? We talk about it a lot with OpenDNS. And we recommend it as an average end user approach to security. Is there any next gen of that we should start thinking about, or is that a good way to go?
Like things like you talking like Cloudflare and stuff,
right? Cloudflare, OpenDNS,
yeah,
any kind of DNS filtering.
No, they provide a service. Those DNS filtrations, we use them, and mm-hmm. we've used them for a while at a corporate nature. And they've got personal plans. They can do content filtering if you have kids. You know, it is a good service. And if you're talking about you're spending $10 a month. I mean, really, $100 a month to have all that, or a year, or whatever it'd be, you know.
Yeah.
It's
free,
it's not
actually.
Bad, and it's worth it. It's worth every penny.
Yeah, and it's free. The other thing that we find in our business, I mean, obviously, Kaspersky antivirus is a Russian antivirus, and now,
sure.
and we've told people for years not to use Russian antivirus, because obviously it's Russian antivirus. Could be good, but it's still from, you know, it's Russian antivirus. So, do you guys find any kind of methodologies that end users can take to figure out the security technologies that they're using? Are they American-based? Are they Western-based? Are they good, bad? I mean, you know, you've got like AVG, right? That's a Czech Republic tool. I mean, it's, you know, we can't find American technology to secure our systems. You know,
there's a lot of native tools that are built in, you know,
right.
And obviously you get more bells and whistles with third-party software.
Mm-hmm.
And I say when in doubt, leave it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're not sure, because that's another big thing. I'm glad you put that, you know, and that goes for all software.
Mm-hmm.
So any software download, it has to be from a trusted installation source. If it's not from a trusted installation source, then you can't, you know, your operating system can't use the public key cryptology that it uses to check the vendor and the state of the package, you know, making sure that it, you know, viruses haven't been slipstreamed, you know, sideloaded into the application software. But again, I say smaller footprint, smaller attack surface. When in doubt, leave it out.
And that's really good advice, because even for folks with your phones, there's so many apps people download. Let's say you're into Wordle, let's say, right? But there's so many other Wordle-ish apps out there just on the store, right? So the bad guys are saying, oh, everyone likes Wordle. Well, let's go ahead and create apps that are like Wordle and have all those malware tools inside there to capture your bank account when you log into your bank account. So you're right. When in doubt, leave it out.
That's a big challenge today, and you all know this too. We've gone so far from traditional systems administrations. Now we have BYOD. I want my device, and I want to be able to use it, and I want to be able to access, you know, not only my private information, but I want to be able to access corporate and company information too. So that's a challenge on administrators, and that's one of the things that, again, back to that user training, if you're going to have access to the internal, you know, line of business productivity apps, then we need to be able to enroll you into an MDM solution. Sorry for the acronym, but, you know, mobile device management or even mobile application management, ma'am, they, you know, in some kind of unified system, you know, like something like Microsoft's Endpoint Manager, formerly separate Intune and CCM, but be able to manage that device. We're going to require you to have a screen lock, and that screen lock's going to require you to have, you know, a password, or not just a password, but biometrics authentication. And how about this one? Yeah, I'm surprised we didn't say this, both of us. Shame on us.
Yeah.
Multi-factor authentication.
Well, we're going to get there.
Yeah.
Only a matter of time.
Yeah, I almost forgot that one. That's a big one, is multi-factor authentication, because, you know, you have those three authentication factors, right? Something you know, something you have, something you are traditionally. There's a whole ton of other ones due to technology's advances, but those are the traditional three. You know, if they get my password through whatever means, social engineering, see, that's another thing, is social engineering and anti-phishing campaigns are very, very important, because they teach the end users in a non-live environment and through mock dry runs, like, what would happen? Could you identify, you know, a phishing scam? So let's say that they do get attacked by a phishing scam, and now they got the credentials. If they don't have the device that's on them, then they're not, they don't win.
Right.
Multi-factor authentication is another thing. And again, back to, you know, BYOD, that presents challenges, but it goes back to that user awareness. You know, we say defense in depth, and the outer layer of that onion, if you will, those mutually reinforcing layers, is policy, procedure, and awareness. So we have to make sure that we have end users go through, and again, it's not this, it sounds like, you know, we're trying to be the Nick Burns of IT with a big Thor, you know, hammer. It's not really that. It's just hey, you need to recognize that your role and what your role is in cybersecurity, and not only from a business perspective, but also help you in the residential areas as well.
Now, as far as what you guys do to train people on this, Security Plus really is where that focus would be, as far as getting people trained up and understanding these areas that you just brought up.
It actually starts from the beginning. So I do the core, the CompTIA core foundation series, A+, Net+, and Security Plus. And one of the good things about the way they've got that structured, and one of the reasons I tell everybody to follow a path of going to A+, Net+, Security Plus, unless you've been a, you know, help desk technician, and I've met so many people that don't need certifications. They've got more experience than I'll ever have. But the point being is, you know, if you're starting in that foundation, we start you out with a little bit of security. You have to know, I think 10-15% of that exam is security.
Good.
And then when we get into networking, we teach you some of that stuff that you still learned in A+, but we also teach you some more in depth of the networking side of things, right? We're not just talking about, hey, this is a botnet. Now we're talking about cross-site scripting. We're talking about, you know, the cross-site forgery request. You know, go a little bit more advanced. And then, yes, sir, you get to Security Plus. And at that point, there's assumed knowledge, because it's all security, you know, and it's a great stepping stone for people. And then if you want to go on, again, that could be a nexus to many a different cybersecurity careers.
It really can be. I mean, the pass the hash attacks that are out there these days are really starting to be leveraged against even MSPs.
Yeah, those are frightening.
Yeah. They don't even have to do the work. They're doing a little bit of work, but just the fact that they can authenticate a system like that
without a password.
Yeah, exactly. and see, that's the thing that I don't think any users need to know, but we know that it's the way the passwords are stored, right?
Right.
If I can get that hash value, you know, it doesn't matter if it's an Etsy shadow file or if it's in the, you know, the old, where do they keep it today? Syskey, I think it is, in Windows. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you know, if I can find the hashed value of your password, then all I need to do is just pass that off to the system, and it doesn't matter what the keystrokes are. It looks like the password.
Right, and that's back to saving your passwords into Chrome and that kind of thing. I mean, if those things are saved up in those in those browsers. They can also use technology similar, right, to pass those hashes back in.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So anything else we should know, Wes, about security that you want to bring up this morning?
No, those are some good ones. And you know that we could go on and on. I think the last thing I would say is just be aware of your emails, you know, end users, take a little bit of training. There's plenty of websites out there that they have little gamification of phishing scams, and they're legitimate sites, you know. And try to see if you can identify them. You'd be surprised. And finally, I would say the last thing is that if you are going to access corporate resources, make sure you're using some kind of VPN service. You know, they're out there. You don't have to be a network engineer to set them up. You could pay a subscription, and then you know that when you're at a hotspot and you're viewing your private data, you know that it is going to stay that way.
Anything cool and new coming out to IT Pro TV? You guys always have some sort of webinar happening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So we just finished the new A+ for the new A+ objectives. Okay. They're going to be launching in April, so very excited to see that. What else are we into? We're going to be kicking off this week, Linux Plus, with our CTO and co-founder of IT Pro TV, Don Pizzette. So that's I'm really looking forward to that. And then after that, I'm going to be starting in a little bit of Microsoft. I'm going to be doing AZ900, which is the Azure Fundamentals course.
Oh, fun. You heard about that story where people were having access to multiple Azure accounts, right? They had that vulnerability.
No.
I'll send a link to you.
Awesome. Very good. Man, well, I tell you what, guys, how's the weather up there?
It's cold.
Yeah, it's cold. Yeah.
Not for you, though. We don't rub it in down there in Florida.
No. It's okay. We had a bunch of rain, and our cold fronts are nowhere near what your cold fronts are. So no. I won't say.
So we'll have you back sometime in April talking about another topic.
I tell you what, I look forward to seeing you or talking to you all, and anytime. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, same with us, Wes. We do appreciate it, sir.
Take care, gentlemen.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, Wes Bryan, IT Pro TV. If you want to become a geek too, you can be. You can go on to computertalkwithtab.com. It's 30% off. Go ahead and check it out. We need you. And like Dennis always says, we want you to be a geek too.
Yeah, we need you badly.
the planet needs more geeks.
Everybody, not just Tab. The world needs IT people.
So we're going to step out for a quick break, and you're going to choose a new career. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here until 11 o'clock, and we're going to get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go first over to George. Nope, we're going to first go to Jen in West Hartford. Sorry, George, she was on longer. Jen, what's going on?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, my pleasure. What's up?
So I have an issue with my Netgear Nighthawk. It's an R7000, and I can't see the devices that are logged on. In the past, I used to be able to see the devices that were there. And now I can't see them, and my son's Xbox has been blocked for a few months, and he's not too happy about it when he comes home from college, and I can't get him to get on. I've even tried to do a guest user.
You blocked him by a Mac address, huh?
I blocked him somehow.
What did he get a C in something?
Yeah, you know, he's up late. Come on.
I was going to say, sorry, Mom, I didn't mean to get a C. You're blocked. Your Xbox is blocked. So you probably did it by MAC address because it shouldn't have been by IP address. So there's probably a MAC security. Dennis is looking for it.
Yeah, I'm looking up some of the Netgear Nighthawk, starting about 6 months ago, they put out some problematic firmware updates.
Okay.
Including some that completely disable the admin site so that you can't log in and do anything administratively with it. The router will continue to work the way it was set up, but you can't make any changes to it. I assume that you're able to log in, but you're just not seeing the device. Right.
I see some devices.
Okay.
And it kind of goes back and forth between the 2.4
and the 5.
And the 5. Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's showing me those, but it's not showing me everything that's using my Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Well, he's probably hardwired, right?
No.
Oh, really?
No. He was up in his room.
Okay. Make it better.
And complaining.
Yes, because hardwired would be much better.
That did work, actually, when he hardwired it, because over when he was home for Christmas break, that did work.
Okay, so of course, you could just do that and not waste the rest of your Saturday.
All right. What you're going to do is go into... I found a page that has a suggestion for this, okay?
Nice.
Okay.
You're going to go into the router admin page. You're going to click on advanced... That'll be up near the top. And then you go to security over on the left. And then you go into access control.
Okay.
And what you can do in there is govern the access controls. But there is a radio button that'll say allow all new devices to connect. And what you would have him do is reconnect using the Wi-Fi on his computer.
All right. Now, would I have to do that through the app, or would I have to go into...
You go into the web page for the router.
Yeah, directly into the router.
And we'll post a link to this. Mike G will get it up on Facebook, and I'll get it on the web page.
Okay.
All right, Jen.
All right. Thanks so much for your help. I appreciate it.
Our pleasure.
All right.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, it's never good when your Xbox can't connect. But it is powerful if your kid's not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You can actually target the specific device, their iPhone, their Xbox.
It's a nice feature if you really want to control the kids.
And lock it down for timing, too.
Yeah, you can put it on a schedule, right.
We'll be right back. Back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Three lines open for you on this lovely Saturday morning. And just had to say something about St. Pete. The Peters? The St. Peters?
St. Peters.
The Peacocks?
I think they're the Peacocks.
Holy moly. That was such a great game taking on Purdue. Oh, man. Those guys can go all the way. Their next opponent is an 8 seed, North Carolina.
Whoa.
Talk about getting to the Final Four, possibly. I think they can do it. Those guys have heart. Holy moly. And I'm sure the whole country is probably rooting for these guys.
Have to be.
Yeah, such a great. They work hard. They play well. My goodness. They're going to go far. All right, back to your calls. We're going to have three lines open. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And let's go to George in Bristol now. Hey, George, you there? Morning, George. You awake? Sorry. He's been on hold for 45 minutes. George, you with us? Oh, boy. I think George just probably fell asleep.
Did we lose George?
We lost George. We're going to put George back on hold because I'm sure he's there, I would hope. But while we wait for calls, I do want to bring up, I kind of alluded to this when Wes was online, about he was doing a new Azure training. And the folks in Microsoft, yes, the folks in Microsoft, had an Azure flaw. Now, Azure is basically Microsoft's cloud-hosted solution, right? So they're instead of having your own servers, you then rent servers from Microsoft, and then you put your precious business servers onto Microsoft's cloud, right? And you have now your accounting system is sitting there, your email, whatever it might be, all your important documents, your company secrets, your secret formula to whatever it might be for your special sauce is on Azure's cloud, right? This is where it's sitting. And of course, here's the flaw. Azure flaw allowed users to control others' accounts. Yes, that's what I said.
What?
Yeah. There's a flaw in the Azure system that allowed somebody else to access your data. Not supposed to work that way.
How is that even a thing?
It's a thing. This is the issue with multi-tenancy, right? So basically, if you think of the cloud as a tenement building in the sky, which is how I think of it, and basically, it's like having a key to everybody's room, right? And Microsoft said it didn't impact anybody. It only impacted users of Azure's automation service, and that service allows Azure users to use PowerShell or Python to write runbooks. But they did a test, and they were able to look at other instances of other cloud systems to see. You know, they proved that they could look at other instances of other cloud accesses or other accounts. They were able to see bank and telco information.
Oh.
I'll have you guys read the story yourself. But again, I mean, this was a March 8th article that I haven't gotten to. And then we had the article today about Microsoft getting hacked. This isn't even a hack. This is literally like
this is them leaving an open door between accounts.
Right. Ugh. Which really shouldn't be the case, period. So I'll put the link up there for you. You can read it and weep as we all do. Let's go on to back to your calls and see if, we can get some answers here for you guys. We're going to go to Jeff in Washington State. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Hi, I'm a big fan from the other part of the country. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Thanks for calling. We love cranking up the long-distance phone bill here.
Yes. So my, well, first, before I get to my question, I'm a podcast listener. I listen religiously for years. I've noticed they haven't had hour one and two labeled now, so I'm out of order 50% of the time.
That's all Joey. That's Joey's fault, Joey. Are you going to apologize to this guy? You're hour one and two out of order on the podcasts. Yeah, he's blaming Washington. So we have no control over that, Jeff. It's all Joey. So send the letter to Joey, the complaints to Joey.
All right. I'll get working on it.
What can we do for you?
So every time I get a new phone, I like to back it up on the computer. You know, I go through Samsung's all, you know, every year or two. My problem is, and this is more of an annoyance, it's not life-changing or anything, but I plug it into the desktop, and it's a higher-end desktop. Every 4 or 5 years, we, you know, spend the money and get, you know, the latest i7, the video card, everything else.
Nice.
Everything works great, except when I plug in the USB cord to the phone, the thing pops up, and I say, I just want to view files, and then I open two file explorers on Windows 10, and I go to transfer the phone. The most recent one was the new Samsung, and that one was actually the USB-C one to USB-C.
Right.
What happens is I open up two file explorers. So one is the phone, and I open it up, and I see all the folders. The other is on the computer, and I make a new folder, Jeff's backup. And then I go copy and paste. Well, this has happened for years, and not this computer, but every computer I get, it seems. If I try and do the full phone, it's 212 gigabytes, this latest one, and the thing hangs. So it hangs at where it kind of thinks about how much it's going to take and how long it's going to take, and then it gives you that window.
Mm-hmm.
It will simply not do it, and I have no idea why. So I was going to get your thoughts if there's anything else I can try. Like I said, I've tried the USB-A, the 3.0, the different cords I thought it was originally, and it just hangs, and I have to do like individual folders, and it takes forever.
I'm going to make a suggestion that you buckle down and try using a command line copy instruction. You can either use the copy command or xcopy, which is for bulk copy, or you can use another tool that is built into Windows called RoboCopy, which is really great stuff. I have found that it does when you're using Explorer to copy, what it does is it navigates through the entire hierarchy of what you're moving. And if that is very complex with a lot of data in it, it just becomes very difficult for Windows to catalog it before it even begins copying it. And that's where the hang-up is occurring, okay? If you use a command line tool, it doesn't do that cataloging first. It just looks at every file that you are telling it to copy with your command, and it just moves it one at a time. It's actually more efficient for large amounts of data to move.
And there's one other thing you can look at, too, that I saw, Jeff, is that you need to go to your USB preferences on your phone. Some of them offer a way to set it for file transfer. And if you don't physically tell it, right now I'm doing a file transfer, it could be fighting with charging and other issues where it's holding up and saying, I don't have enough time to send this over or what have you. Maybe that could be contributing to it, too. So just make sure you set your settings in your phone to file transfer if you have that setting.
Okay. So not in the computer, because when it pops up, it gives me some things to do. And I usually just select view files, I think is what I do on the USB.
Yeah,
it's not a Windows side of problem. I think it's the phone side.
You might have to go into the phone settings and tell it to allow copy. But I would think that if the phone is showing up with folders in Explorer, that it is doing that file sharing, but it may still need that instruction to be set.
You can actually set it for usually file transfer, USB tethering, MIDI, PTP, or no data transfer. Obviously, like Ben is saying, it's set there already, but just formally setting it according to this forum might improve your your transfers.
The tools that Dennis recommended, are those built into Windows or
are they
separate?
They are. It's built in. You don't need to go get anything.
Great. Well, if you wouldn't mind leaving a post for me, I can remind me what those are called and everything. So thanks for your time, gentlemen.
Hey, thank you for calling out there in Washington State and racking up our bill here. We like it.
I'll be listening.
All right, Sarah. We'll try to. Joey will now put the podcast out in the right order. Right, Joey? You promise? All right, he promises.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff. Bye-bye. The thing about podcasting, man, they used to call it hour one and hour two, right? Do you just put them out generically now, Joey?
Yeah, they're more of a, you know, the people that are smarter than me.
Yeah.
They don't want the name of the show or hour one and the date. We want fancy titles.
Right, so it becomes each individual podcast just becomes a thing. Itself, not
it's
an
not,
hour one or an hour
yeah,
two.
Yeah, so it's
of a
not
program.
Like, you know, March 26, 2022, hour one, hour two. It's whatever was a big topic of discussion during that hour.
Gotcha. All right, so Jeff's not going to be that happy. You're not going to be able to fix that.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
Oh, man.
I'll take care of you, Jeff. You'll see. Don't worry about it, bud.
Awesome.
And kudos for listening across the country.
Yeah, man. All right, let's go to, if George is there, we're going to hope he's awake. George in Bristol, you with us?
Yes.
Hey, there you are. Sorry for putting you on hold so long. What can we do for you, sir?
I have a problem trying to install some HB software in my wife's computer so I can connect her new printer. And what happens is when I put the address for the software in, I get a K9 web protection page that pops up.
Get rid of K9.
We tried that. We eliminated everything that we know of in the computer, but there must be something in there that's causing it to pop up on this one screen.
Yeah. K9 was a great web filter maybe 15 years ago. OpenDNS has supplanted it. So we can try to find an uninstall for K9. There's something legacy that's occurring blocking you from getting this download. I don't know why K9 thinks this is malicious. It's not. Well, it could be. You got to be certain you're on the right spot, but I assume it's not. So we have to find
the same address in the notebook here that I have.
Yeah. So there's definitely something K9's blocking. It also slows you down. The K9 tool is just really bogs everything down. So if people are still using K9 as a web filter, we would tell you not to do it anymore. Just it was great when it first came out, but it's definitely not what it used to be. So did you find an uninstaller there, Dennis?
I have not yet, but I'm still looking.
All right. If we can find an uninstaller, we'll find one because that's what's happening. Now, also, well, I wonder if it's DNS settings. I don't think K9 worked that way. K9 didn't use DNS. It used like a logging system.
And it was a proxy. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to have to find an uninstaller for you, George. There's no workaround to K9 that I can think of other than uninstalling it.
Okay.
Now, you can't find the program on your system, right?
No, I eliminated everything that had the name K9 on it in the system.
When you say eliminated, did you just like delete the shortcut or did you uninstall it?
Uninstall it.
Okay. So it clearly left some legacy stuff here for you that's getting
in
the way. So hopefully we can find an uninstaller for you to get rid of it.
I'm still looking.
Oh, boy. It's not good. It's.
Uh-oh.
Is there any other way to load that software? Can you download it to your machine and then bring it over to the machine you're dealing with?
I've never tried that.
I always think out of the box. So download it to like a flash drive, right, as an exe or something. So instead of, you know, point it to or it'll go to your downloads folder on the other machine, copy it to a USB stick, bring it over to the machine you're trying to get it loaded on. It can't stop you there.
All right. We'll give that a try.
Yeah.
Very good.
All right, George. We'll try to find a link for your uninstall as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I wish we could just find answers to every question.
I know.
If you're not finding it, I mean, K9's been kind of deprecated for a long time.
I don't even think they support it anymore, do they?
They don't. I think they were purchased by somebody else, and it's not what it used to be.
It's not. No, unfortunately.
All right. So a couple lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Is there anything you wanted to bring up, Dennis, news-wise, as we wait for calls?
Well, we talk a lot about how cryptocurrency is fake money.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, there's something that's actually related to cryptocurrency.
Oh, right.
It's called NFTs, just or non-fungible tokens.
Yes.
Where you can buy and sell things electronically, and you have the token that you own, which is yours forever and ever.
Right.
And that's what you've got.
Ooh.
Okay.
It's like a Beanie Baby all over again.
And if you can imagine, there are uses for that. You can buy an NFT that gives you the rights to a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the only person that can govern what's done with that photograph.
Ooh.
Or that recording, you know, sound recording, song, whatever.
Yes.
But there's also a lot of mayhem that goes along with that.
Right. As P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every day.
Like a group of people who recently went and sold a bunch of NFTs for these little cartoon characters.
Okay.
And they're very cute. They're called Embers or Frosties.
Okay.
I don't know what the attraction is. I mean, they're really adorable little things. But people actually went in and... they auctioned off these NFTs for these little cartoon characters.
Yeah.
And then, poof, the site's gone.
Right.
Everything's gone.
And no NFTs.
And, yeah, you have no NFTs. So
how much
you paid the money.
How
but,
much did they make?
Oh, I don't even know.
I read $1.1 million.
Yeah.
Well, $1.1 million is what I read, if this is the same story.
I might have a different story because this one does not have a dollar amount in it.
Well. The idea is this, guys. Come on, man.
So in addition to having fake currency,
right?
You now have fake things that people are buying and selling.
Fake digital things.
What?
I mean, collectors are people collect things for all sorts of crazy reasons, and you can't really judge them for doing it. Whatever. You would collect whatever you collect. I'm joking about Beanie Babies, but back in the 80s, Beanie Babies were a big thing.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Yeah. Now, I mean, who knows if there's value in
that. And the company that made them actually created a scare.
Tyco.
By announcing, Tyco.
Right.
By announcing they were going to stop making them.
Right.
Increasing the value. Only when that date came, they never stopped making them. But the values all spiked right before that.
Yeah, until they went back down again. So again, NFTs, whatever. If you really want to spend your money on NFTs, more power to you. But at least you need to know where you're going to go for your silly digital whatever you're spending your money on. Now, if you use cryptocurrency to buy your NFTs, use fake money to buy your fake, your pictures, whatever. But
so is this just the Matrix actually coming to fruition?
How do you mean?
Nothing's real and everything's real.
Yeah, it could be, Joey, because this is crazy, man. I don't know what people see in these things or why. I mean, but again, a fool in this money. If you had the first. You know, I think of like iconic pictures, like the picture of the planet Earth, you know, from the moon. Right. Well, there's no NFT for that because we paid for that as taxpayers. So if NASA thinks they're going to sell that as an NFT, I want a piece of that.
Well, I think that's part of the National Archives.
I would hope so. Yeah. But that's like I can see that as a you know, iconic picture. Do I think I would want to pay to own the picture? No, I can see that picture a bazillion times anytime I want. So owning this picture, what does it mean? What value is it? I just don't get it. Clearly, I just don't get it. But... Well, who am I? So we've got to take a break here, Joey. All right, step up for a quick break. Four lines open for you guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Nothing non-fungible here. We'll be right back. And we are back. A little propeller heads for you this morning. Take California. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice, and that should be interesting. I mean, the CDC had some interesting issues with data and how they decided to do what they decided to do to us. But maybe Dr. Alessi will be talking about that or not. I have no idea. It looks like Dennis did find...
Well, actually, Mike G found it.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah, Mike G. Thank you, Mike.
Props to him. He found a link to a page from Symantec that bought the company that made Blue Coat or that made
Blue Coat Canine. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They discontinued it in 2019.
Yeah.
On this page that we are linking to, there is a link to an uninstall tool.
Nice.
And that running that will get rid of it.
I knew there was a tool out there.
Had to be.
Nice job, Mike. All right. So feel free to get online. 800. Oh, the calls are coming in, keeping Caroline busy. Everything we talked about today is posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com by Dennis here while we're doing the show. Right? That's the name of the show.com mm-hmm. that also works.
That's right. And it really does.
It does
no
work.
No kidding.
It does. If you like us on Facebook, if you like Tab Computer Systems on Facebook, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it may get into your news feed. So if you want to do that, you can. If you use Twitter, if you've got time for Twitter, I don't know who has time for Twitter, but if you do have time for Twitter and you want to follow the links that way, you can go ahead and follow us on the Twitter feed as well over at, I'm not sure we are, what we're called out there in the Twitter feed, but it's linkable from Computer Talk. You can see it. We're going to go to Linda next, who called in here. What's going on, Linda?
Hi there.
Hey there. What's up?
I'm not sure if you'll help me, but I appreciate any advice.
Okay.
I'm actually a Mac girl.
All right.
That's okay. So I'm a Mac guy.
What's that?
I'm a Mac guy, so that's
cool.
Okay,
yeah. Great. So I recently upgraded my iMac, and it was in April. And when I did the conversion over to the new Mac, it forced me to do the IMAP setup for the emails.
Yes.
And everything was going fine. Come November, I realized all these emails that I quote-unquote put in the trash were totally gone. Like, it seemed like the middle of the month, anything from April to November was deleted, and I hadn't done it. And so I rechecked the settings, and I have everything set to never in the settings. I checked the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And the settings are set to never. And I contacted the host company that my emails are on, and they said that we don't delete emails. You'd have to manually go in and delete them.
Mm-hmm.
So I double checked the settings, and I'm at the point where I should just go to maybe to POP, because I can't take that the emails just go away.
Well, you can't blame the protocol.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not the problem.
It's probably not you, Linda. We're coming up against the bottom of the hour, the end of our show, top of the hour. However, it's probably whoever provided your email service lost your mail. I'm guessing that if you didn't delete it, IMAP doesn't delete mail unless it tells
you. Yeah, and the migration utility from one machine to another, that's not going to delete them.
Right, so that's why it's important, folks, to have a backup of your email, right? You have to back up your provider. Because they're not backing it up, and they're not giving you a way to restore it, right, Linda?
No.
It's not.
They actually, like, kind of laughed.
Yeah,
and
I'm sorry.
Okay, well, maybe I need a new provider.
That's a thought, too, right? But it's not you, it's them. But we got to let you go. But it's not IMAP or POP. It's your provider, most likely.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks for your help.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Caroline for producing and Joey for helping. Thank Mike G for posting everything live. Thank you, Wes Bryan, from IT Pro TV.
And we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next week.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees.
Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide. Plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.